Funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Streetwise Athlone.
In this series, we learn about the old and recent history of the streets of Athlone, hear the thoughts and memories of locals and tourists, and the changes we might see in the future.
Episode 43, The Crescent.
Historian Garrod O'Brien tells us about the history of the area.
Located on a corner site on the Ballymahon Road, the old Crescent Shop and Ballroom is a very distinctive building. The Shine family bought a field from the railway authorities and built a small terrace of houses, which they called Southlands, presumably because they were built on land which had belonged to the Great Southern and Western Railway Company. They also built a shop unit and a ballroom, and the Crescent Ballroom became a favourite dancing venue in Athlone. It is an unusual building by Athlone standards. The flat roof of the shop was hidden by Art Deco style detailing, and the ballroom had an ornamental balcony. The resident band was fronted by Sid Shine, the son of the proprietors. As dancing gained in popularity, the ballroom was too small. Capacity was very limited, and around 1960, they altered and extended it. The entrance and cloakrooms were downstairs, and the ballroom proper was upstairs. Ireland in the 1960s was experiencing what we now call the show band era. It is estimated that there were almost 700 show bands touring the length and breadth of the country. All the big names came to the Crescent. The Clipper Carlton, Joe Dolan and the Drifters, Brendan Boyer and the Royal Show Band, Dickie Rock and the Miami, Big Tom and the Mainliners, Brendan O'Brien, Joe Mack and the Dixies, Butch Moore and the Capitol, and of course Athlone's own Sid and the Saints. Then after the show bands had had their day, bands like Thin Lizzy and Horselips brought Celtic rock to the provinces. It was a sorry day when the Crescent Ballroom closed its doors. Soon it was converted into a furniture shop by Kilroy's of Tullamore. Then in 1996 it was further renovated and extended to accommodate two retail outlets, hostel and restaurant, with modern shop fronts to the ground floor. In the aftermath of the Woolen Mills fire, when many people living in the vicinity of the Woolen Mills had to be evacuated, Mrs. Shine in the Crescent opened the doors of the ballroom, and with the help of the Red Cross, it was turned into an emergency accommodation unit for families until it was safe for them to go back to their homes. The Fair Green is no longer green. As the old Joni Mitchell song, Big Yellow Taxi, says, they paved paradise and put up a parking lot. It may not have been a paradise, but it certainly was an important part of the infrastructure of old Athlone. Fairs were part and parcel of Athlone since 1221, when they were granted permission for 2 3-day fairs in the year. This figure rose to 3 fairs a year in 1606, one of these being a January fair, and the other two being held in March and August. We don't know for sure when the space we know as the Fair Green was designated. It's not indicated on the first ordnance survey maps, but it is on the 1874 map. We do know that the Fair Green extended up to where St. Mary's Church now stands, because in 1856, George Meacham, the landlord, surrendered his interest in that part of the Fair Green known as the Old Orchard as a site for St. Mary's Church and Presbytery. The January Fair, which had been granted in 1606, was still a feature of Athlone life in the 1960s, and schools still closed for the duration of the fair in the interest of the safety of the children. During the fairs, cattle were walked through the streets of Athlone to the Fair Green, where they were sold. The popularity of indoor marts in the 1960s made these fairs a thing of the past. The Fair Green, of course, served many other purposes. Public meetings, political meetings, and even the training of the Midland Volunteers all took place in the Fair Green. It was also, for well over a century, the place for travelling fairgrounds or carnivals to set up, and for the circus when it came to town. Today, though much reduced in size, it's a convenient public car park very close to the town centre. It is hardly an exaggeration to say that when I was a child, Garden Vale was the Harley Street of Athlone. with brass plaques for doctors, dentists, architects and eye specialists, adorning many of the large houses. Garden Vale takes its name from a house built by James Kelly in or about 1785. In 1898, Thomas Chapman acquired the site and built his Athlone printing works on part of it. The Greenfield site, which stretched from Garden Vale House down to the junction with the Southern Station Road, had been sold off in lots in 1883. In the 1890s, both Fairview Terrace and Garden Vale itself were developed. I am convinced that most of the fine houses in Garden Vale were designed by William A. Tanner, who was a son-in-law of William Smith, the managing director of Athlone Woolen Mills. They are among the finest Victorian residences in Athlone. Garden Vale has also been closely associated with cinema. The Garden Vale Cinema opened when the talkie movies were introduced around 1930. Prior to that, the Gallagher family had a picture house in the Father Matthew Hall, where silent movies were shown, with music provided by local musicians, including members of the Gallagher family. The Garden Vale Cinema was in a converted warehouse which had previously been part of Ferrier's Stores. Another part of this building served as the first technical school in Athlone from 1902 until the early 1930s, when it moved to Northgate Street. Later, a local syndicate built a purpose-built cinema in Garden Vale. It was originally called the Adelphi Cinema and later the Oscar Cinema. The building itself is still standing and is now occupied by an antique furniture store.
Erica visits the area and speaks to people who remember the Crescent during four different decades.
The Crescent was brilliant. I went to the Crescent in 1969. And at that day, really, there was no, you didn't go for a drink or anything like that. You just danced the night away. You'd have a band playing from 9:30 to 12:30. Then the big band like Joe Dolan or Doc Carl or Brendan Boyer would come on about 12:30, 1 and play till 2:30. So we'd dance the night away and then we'd go down to the coffee bar and have sandwiches and coffee and tea. But we didn't have any drink. I think I drank first drink at 21. But there were brilliant days of show band days, and can I say carnival days. I used to hop on the bus and go to Killeer Carnival, Glasson Carnival, and you would have had Philomena Begley and you would have had Hugo Duncan. And yeah, I love music. And I still have all their cards of the show bands who are playing. They'd be souvenirs. I saw this programme lately, Treasures of Ireland. They'd be treasures to hand up now if you were given them, you know.
I was just wondering, do you have any memories about the Crescents?
Oh, I remember the Crescent well. I used to dance here in the Crescent. Yeah, they were the old days. They were the good days.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's when girls didn't go to pubs and drink, only the fellas did. Do you know what I mean? And we'd all line up here. The boys would all come in there with a few jars and come over. They had the Dutch courage to ask you out to dance. Oh, there's great memories there of the Crescent, you know. Oh, you'd work all week to get that new dress for every Sunday night, or that new little item, whatever it may be. You know what I mean? And it was all this... Now anything goes. Just you go. We put a lot of effort into getting ourselves ready for the dance here. You know what I mean? So that's definitely, you have to bring me down memory lane now.
Yeah, older sisters and that would have gone. Yeah, to the bands in it, country and western and that. There was a doorway in there and down there, and you could go up into it, and it was like a big ballroom type of room. A lot of people met there years ago. Yeah. I think I kind of caught between when it started to close, and there was an empty hall here for a long, long time.
Well, I suppose there was a little roundabout, and over at the side there was Athlone Mixed National School, and the Dell was over at the other side. And I suppose it's very interesting to see the road layout now in comparison to what it was then. You know, there was quite a lot of gridlock, so I suppose now it's freed up a bit, and it was very different then to it is now, but it's great to see the progression.
Streetwise Athlone. Historical research and presentation by Garrod O'Brien. Additional research by Damien McKellen. Interviews by Amanda Gunning, Ursula Ledwith, Mel Ray, and Erica Follows Smith. Editing by Kyle McKellen. Produced by Amanda Gunning.
funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.